ConneryMinutes.com. It's Connery Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Rob Connery. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 353, recorded live Thursday, January 10th, 2013. This episode is brought to you by Telerik, offering the best in developer tools and support. Online at telerik.com. And by franklins.net, training developers to work smarter. And now offering GesturePack, a powerful gesture recording and recognition system for Microsoft Kinect for Windows developers. Details at gesturepak.com. In this episode, Rob talks to Scott Hanselman about midlife crises.
Hi, this is Rob Connery, and it's another episode of Connery Minutes. Today, I am interviewing Mr. Scott Hanselman.
I don't know why I find that so stupid every time.
I know, I can't. Yeah. It just has to happen. How are you today, sir?
I'm always uncomfortable when you're on the show, Rob Connery.
I'm hijacking your show. I sent you an email, and I said, Scott, it's time to hijack the show again.
Needs more cowbell.
Exactly. The reason I wanted to hijack your show is... You have a birthday coming up. So do I.
When is your birthday?
January 17th.
Oh, wow. That is very soon. Yeah. Mine's a couple days after yours. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. You and me and Phil all have birthdays within 1 week, I believe.
Yeah, but Phil's like 24.
Yeah, he doesn't count.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is I was thinking the other day about my birthday, and I was joking on Twitter, and I said, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm almost 29, which is a lie.
And how many years have you been 29?
Yeah, at least 44 now. I'm going to be turning 45. But it was really funny. I just sort of went off about, oh my gosh, I'm going to be 29. I haven't founded a startup yet. You know, where's my big payout? How come I'm not in Silicon Valley? I don't know, just all this stuff. Just having fun.
You're a horrible person.
Well, it got me thinking. You know, I have some pretty interesting reactions, as do you, right, when we see certain types of behavior.
Yeah.
And what we call like the whole get off my lawn reaction.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're not elderly programmers of any means, right? But we are, there is a generation that is different, right? Mm-hmm. I like talking to programmers in their 60s because I think that they have really interesting perspectives on what it was like to program before, and they have 20 years on me, right? So I enjoy talking to programmers also that I have 20 years on, you know, that I am 20 years older than. And I think it's funny when people in their 20s, 25-ish, get angsty about their success or relative lack of success or whatever. And I find that people can get these bubbles around themselves, you know, like there's the Silicon Valley bubble, but there's this whole startup thing. There's this obsession with the startup. And I don't know. I think sometimes the young people forget that we're not really building stuff. You know what I mean? Like we're building stuff, but it's very ephemeral. It doesn't last very long. And it's not, you know, unless it's like saving babies, what is it that you're building that's so amazing, right? If you, I'm building a B2B marketplace that, you know, allows people to, you know, whatever. Like, remember expiredfoods.com?
Your buddy's great idea?
Right. It's a B2B marketplace, mobile B2B marketplace for expired foods. You know, I mean, really? Is that, get a passport and go travel somewhere. Don't you think?
I do. I do, but an interesting thing happened as I was driving home after my little Twitter rant. Mm-hmm. The tables turned in my head as I put myself, like, what if I really was about to turn 29? I mean, I had a lot of anxiety back then, as most 20-somethings seem to have. And what if I was listening to this podcast and these two old guys are sitting there talking about how dumb all the young guys are, right? I would be just as agitated, but in the reverse direction. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I suppose so, but that presumes that... Are you old or young that you're listening?
Oh, let's say my young self is listening to this.
Okay, so self? Well, your young self presumes that you know everything, and you've got it all figured out, right? And young self is offended by, you know, those old guys. They're not thinking clearly, and they don't understand. They don't have the perspective that we have as younger people, blah, 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 right?
Yeah. It's weird. It's the forces of change. So, for instance, you're sitting Now, imagine yourself now sitting in an audience in Vegas, right? Mm-hmm. And you're at a talk, and these young guys up on stage with a faux hawk, and boom, the F word gets splashed across the screen, and he's got this sly look in his face, like, you know, am I not clever? You know, and you roll your eyes. Oh gosh, really? We're gonna have to sit through this. Now go up on stage. So you're the young guy on stage. You're giving the talk. You've put so much love and effort into it. And then you look out there and you see this old dude sitting there rolling his eyes at you. I'm so curious about that. I don't want to be the old guy, like, get off my lawn, you kids. We joke about get off my lawn. Mm-hmm. But do you ever think that maybe we're sliding into some sort of cliche ourselves?
So you know how when you're talking to your kids, you've probably noticed this, that you'll hear your father's voice or your mother's voice. You'll hear, not just that you'll say the same things, but you'll say it and you'll go, wow, everything there was exactly as he would say it. That was like so almost just a cliche. I have become my father.
Right.
That is not a thing that just happened to me. That is a universal truth, right? There is no question in my mind that every single person who has kids is having that experience at least a couple times a year, if not a couple times a week, where I'll say something. And I've even thought that I've seen him. You ever like walking down the street and then you walk by like a big department store window and you go, whoa, and then you look and it's you.
Right. Yep.
Okay. That's like the human experience. That is how it's supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. So to be clear to the folks that are older than us, when we say old guys, we're just feeling our midlife crisis here. No disrespect intended, but we only get to pick on the kids that are younger. But when you roll your eyes in the audience, is that a cliche? Well, you could call it a cliche, but you could also just say that it is absolutely as things are supposed to be.
It's true. Yeah, it seems there needs to be some type of tension where wisdom gained needs to be tested. And it's hard for me to deal with that getting older. I like look at my birthday. I'm 45, right? Mm-hmm. I have been through two bubbles now. I know more languages. I forgot more languages than many people have actually learned.
That is such an old guy thing to say.
It is. And so it's funny when talking to people like John Sheehan, and who likes to call us,
our lovely friend John Sheehan, who we tease about age.
Just to be clear,
to make sure that we're not singling John out.
Yeah. I met with John. We had dinner and the other night when we were in San Francisco. And it's so funny. I find myself giving him advice, and I can see the look in his eyes, which is like, dude, I got it covered. I'm like, I know you've got it.
Dude, we need to get that dudeivegotitcovered.com. Yeah. Like, we need a Tumblr of just pictures of young people with looks on their faces like, I got this.
Just go away already. You and your gray beard,
Yeah, your neck beard.
Yeah, and I'm like, I've been through two bubbles, and this is what I think. And he's like, okay, fine.
I'm making moves, man. I'm making moves.
It's so funny. So what does it mean to you? How old are you going to be? 39?
39.
So you're facing 40. I mean, does that feel different to you?
It's less about the number because dork that I am, I'm like, okay, well, base 10, I'm 40. You know what I mean? It's just like, that's kind of how I'm 39. You know what I mean? I'm justifying it in like other ways, but I'm 47 base 8. I'm just like, you work it out in your head, like all the different things that you're going to be. Like, I like to think of myself as being, 100,111, in binary. That would be that's much more comforting. Right. Mm-hmm. But it's not that it's 40 and it's a round number. It's more that it's the percent, the progress bar is what bothers me. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the 40% of the way there, and that's optimistic. It's more that I'm probably over halfway there.
Right.
That's really concerning. So it's 40 represents a round number, but 40 really represents, okay, that was half my life. And the worst part about the realization that this has been half your life is that you only had control over the last half of that half.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I really only had control over the last 20 years. For the first 10, you're pretty much on autopilot. Somewhere around 15, you get a kind of consciousness, but arguably that is just useless until you're somewhere around 17 or 18. I don't know, this is just my opinion, but I don't think your brain really shuts on until you're about 22. And it's a challenge. So I'm a little sad, like, wow, I'm halfway there and I only had 20 good years? That's kind of my math. It's fuzzy math, but that's what I'm thinking.
Well, there's some people who would say you still don't have control. In fact, I think I talked to Mo the other day, and she mentioned your lack of control.
Okay, that's random.
Okay, I just had to throw in a small dig.
That bothers me. And thinking about the progress bar gets me thinking about that idea of living life by default. Did you read that article about living your life by default?
No.
It was an article, I think it was like the New Yorker or something, and it was basically saying, here's what happens when you live your life by default. And it was, they made up this theoretical person, okay? And, you know, I think, you know, he ends up kind of, you know, falling into school somewhere and then getting married and having kids. And everything's fine, but nothing was particularly amazing or impressive. He basically just takes all of the defaults, and I think he ends up, you know, working at a cardboard recycling plant or whatever, you know what I mean? Something kind of dull and kind of unimpressive, and he ends up being an office manager or whatever. And that's fine if that's satisfying. And if you have a great home life, sure. But the point was, he had a wholly and completely uninteresting life.
Right.
That doesn't mean go all the other direction and then become a startup person and go and create something or become a doctor or people who work in cardboard recycling plants are bad people. It just means if you take the defaults, then are you really living? You know what I mean? I think that the midlife crisis that everyone hears about is the attempt for the 40-year-old person to reassert the I have control of my life thing.
Right.
I just think that people should use that opportunity to start working out and eating right instead of buying little convertible, you know, cars and the kind of the more prototypical midlife crisis.
Yeah. You're making me think of a show I just watched the other day where these guys go to India, mm-hmm. and they're going to do this motorcycle ride across the Himalaya. And they're following this guru, and they're all, you know, my age, mid-40s, 50s, mm-hmm. whatever. And they're just so completely self-absorbed about their enlightenment, and they need to do this because society has always told them X, Y, Z.
Yeah, see, that bothers me because those people don't even realize that what a privilege is to have the money to have been on that trip. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, it's like, oh, I'm climbing the Himalayas. Okay, that's great. Did you hire a Sherpa? Yes. Well, then you got a pretty sweet gig. I mean, you are the 1%. You know what I mean? Unless you like rolled in there on your vintage motorcycle and you did the whole thing like on a shoestring, it's pretty much to be said that you are doing okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I think for me personally, as I face down 50, I'm about halfway there. Mm-hmm. I find that anxiety that creeps in where, you know, the get off my lawn thing where you're looking at the young guys, is just the inverse of the psychosis I had when I was in my 20s. Mm-hmm. You know, both times I'm trying to control it and just say, look, take life as it comes and stop being so self-centered. You don't need to found the next great startup, you know, and that's one of the reasons I'm out here in Hawaii. But I find myself on the other end of that now, facing down that anxiety of feeling irrelevant, I guess. You know, like, you're not listening to me. I have wisdom, and I'm not old. You know, and then, you know.
I'm not old. Yeah, that's definitely what you don't want to do at our age.
Exactly. So, I don't know. Do you ever find yourself having to fight that back? Like, imagine John Sheehan looking at you going, dude, I got it covered.
But that's always how John looks at me.
It's true. It's true. But do you find yourself having to fight that down and just say, oh, just let it go. Who cares?
Well, I'm trying to think of an analogy here, but I'm not trying to pull an analogy between the young people that we talk to and my kids, but
sure.
One wants your kids to listen to you and receive the benefits of your wisdom, but also make their own mistakes. Yep. So you try to protect them from making the major stupid mistakes, while allowing them to make appropriate mistakes with reasonable natural consequences, right? So, you know, John, here's something you might want, I'm using John as the example again, and we're going to get in trouble for this, by the way. You know, you should be thinking about this and this and this when you're founding the next great startup. And, you know, be aware that this might seem like an awesome idea, but it turns out that this is a red herring. You know, good luck on your journey, but I hope you've considered XYZ. You know, when you make the mistake that will inevitably happen, have these systems in place to back you up. That's a different kind of feedback than you really don't want to do that. It's just stupid. Oh, find something else to do. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You know, I think, you know, a little mantra came to me. This is not going to make much sense, but I think an interesting
like
way of
much
looking
of this
at this
podcast.
Is, what would Ward do? And honestly,
what would Ward Cunningham do?
Ward Cunningham, because I keep thinking about that interview that you did for this Developer's Life podcast, mm-hmm. and the excitement and energy and love in his voice. Same with Bill Hill.
But see, these are two guys that were in their 60s and 70s.
That's right. And I want to be like that, just alive, you know, and like, oh, what a neat idea, John. You know what? By the way, John Sheehan is not going to be mad. If anything, he's going to be tickled pink. We're talking about him this much.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But I think the thing that what you're describing to me is that what is it that we like about Ward, right? Is that he's just so freaking stoked, right?
His vitality.
So, exactly. Yeah. Like when I went over to his place a couple times and I go down into the basement, and it's like, you know, what are you working on? And he just lights up. And then, you know, you're looking at like Arduinos that he's hooked up to plants to make sure that the water is like, the dirt is moist, and it, you know, texts him whenever the plant needs water. And he's got all these temperature sensors throughout the house. So like he knows the historical temperature over the last several years of different corners of his house. He's exploring why the northwest corner is warmer than the southwest corner, you know, but he's totally, totally amped about it. So, you know, I don't care whether John has a startup or not, or whether it succeeds or not. What I care about is whether he's just totally stoked about it.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? So I think that the lesson is then, you know, did I build something great is less interesting than did I have a total blast doing it.
Exactly right. Have a good time. And enjoy what you do, because that's all you got. And, you know, be okay if someone doesn't listen to you, I guess, is kind of the thing that I keep thinking about. And it keeps me sane, to be honest.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, I think that that's it. Also, now that I have already built a lot of stuff, I like to make sure that other people are having fun. Mm-hmm. So my building is making sure other people are having fun building things.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure, like I've got cousins and nieces and nephews and sons, and I want to make sure that they're all having fun. So I try to figure out what I can do to engender that amount of stokedness, if that's a word, being stoked in the kids. Like I really find the disaffected teenager thing disappointing.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of, I don't know where that internal fire comes from, but I'm a fan of when I meet a teen. And by teen, I mean anywhere from, you know, 15 to 20, who's jazzed about something. Usually creation is what makes me the most excited. So if you're stoked about building, then I think that that's cool. And if you're 15 or 16 or 17 and you're like, yeah, I don't know. It's like, wow, how can we get this person jazzed? That's what I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How can we turn that on? It might not be building stuff. It might be something entirely different I haven't thought of. But they will feel much better when they have a reason to wake up in the morning.
Yeah. I think, you know, be the jazz. Speaking of, at your house, when you're describing all these things, I remember going to your house, I think it was when we did the video for TechPub, and your garage full of all these little Hansel projects. What was it? You had a video arcade that you made me play with you for a while, and then you showed me your Legos that you had going. And
that's such a weird thing to say.
What?
That my 45-year-old friend came over to my house and we played Legos. You know, it's just like...
Oh, yeah. That's what it's like going to your house. But it's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little playground. And to your point, I think the way you get your kids, or let's say when they turn teenagers or other teenagers, whatever, excited is to be excited in the same way that Ward excited us, you know, with his enthusiasm and vitality.
Yeah, yeah.
More people need to be like that, for sure.
I think that it would be sad to not be jazzed about something. You know, it doesn't, and the being jazzed about something doesn't necessarily have to be your job, but it's always nice if it is.
Yeah. Do you know how many people out there right now are going to just call this our midlife crisis episode?
Let's call it that. Connery Minutes 2, the midlife crisis episode.
Yeah, and by the way, did I tell you I'm planning a motorcycle trip across the Himalayas? You want to go with me?
Of course you are.
I got my guru.
There's no way, dude. I have less than no interest in doing that.
Negative interest. You are actively
Yes, I'm going to stop it from happening. No, I know everyone's got their own thing. You know, you got it. If you want to do your motorcycle trip, that's fine. Now we're going to get in trouble from motorcycle trip people.
No.
The point is that there's a difference between like paying someone $10,000 and having the entire trip handled for you. You know what I mean? It's like when you go on those rafting trips and like all the food is like set up for you at the end of the trip. Like you get, you know, you like you do your rafting and then you get off the boat and then there's like a full meal with like a chef. And like they've set up the tables and stuff. There's, you know, that's somehow less impressive and less of the journey.
Yeah. So as you're describing this, I'm wondering if there's anything that would make you change your mind
about going to the Himalayas.
No. Yeah. Come on, Scott. Let's go. So I'm trying to envision a situation where a startup calls you, mm-hmm. and you know we've got this great idea, and let's say it's you know related to something that means a lot to you. Mm-hmm. And you can stay.
You don't think that I'm negative. I'm anti-startup.
No, not at all. But for me,
I wasn't thinking this conversation had anything to do with startups in general.
No,
startup for me was the risk. That's the point.
Yeah, yeah. So the point would be that they have an opportunity. You can work from Portland, not Portland. You can work from your house. They want you to come in and do some stuff. And would you ever take a job like that? Assuming, you know, I know you're happy at Microsoft and everything.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with Microsoft or not. It's definitely risk. I'm not in a particularly risky mood right now. When you're getting your money ready for retirement, you know, you don't want to necessarily put that on the line.
Certainly. I'm just wondering, would there ever be something so meaningful to you that you're so passionate about that would make you risk and make you take that chance?
Is there something interesting that I would take, that I would go and do? Sure. Is there something that I would risk stuff on? No, I'm not going to risk my retirement. Now, that doesn't mean that I work at Microsoft for retirement purposes. I had money before Microsoft. I did a lot of stuff.
$1 billion.
A billion dollars. No, I'm just saying that the Microsoft paycheck is lovely. The Microsoft healthcare is lovely, but I don't. It's not the thing that pays the bills. As far as one has investments and stuff. The point I'm making about risk is that would I take a risk at 40? No, I'm not going to take any risk that means that my family might be homeless. I've got kids that are going to go to college. Would I do a different thing, a lateral type thing? Of course. I'm just saying that am I going to sell my house and move to the Bay Area and then, you know, take my life savings and my kids' college education and pour it into an idea? No, there's no need to do that because I've been around long enough. I'm sure I would find some investor to be able to pull that off.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's why I bring this up. I find that the older I get, the less likely I am to entertain an idea like, oh, we've got a great idea for a startup. Come join us, Rob. Not really. I don't think so. It's not appealing to me. And I wonder sometimes if that's going to strengthen as I get older. But then my good buddy Todd, who is 52, just left his job as a consultant and decided to go back to school and become a physical therapist. And I asked him why he did this, and I said, are you having a midlife crisis? You know, what's going on? He said, no.
He probably just switched his careers.
It was just interesting to me. And I said, because he's a chemical engineer, right?
Yeah, and
a very well-paid consultant. And I said, what? I don't understand. Are you, were you being unfulfilled? He's like, no, I just wanted to change. And it occurred to me that there could be a time when something swings right out of the blue and everything changes. And just for some reason, I just never entertained that idea so much. And I guess I was, that's the kind of question I was asking.
I think of that as being different. I think that, okay, I understand what you're saying. So, yeah, would I ever quit and like become a nurse or something? Sure, absolutely. I don't think that that's risky. That's just a, moving to a different career.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, I don't know, I find that very interesting that you get to a point where you stop entertaining the ideas of jumping ship and you think, I'm happy where I am, right?
Yeah.
Things are cruising along and then boom, everything changes. And I hope that I'm able to be flexible enough to say, okay, whatever, let's go.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my wife is switching careers, right? I mean, she went from a career in finance and nonprofit and she's going to become a nurse. I've talked about becoming either a nurse or a doctor. I don't know if I'm probably too old to be a doctor, but that's extremely interesting to me. I mean, I spend a lot of time arguing with doctors anyway. Me and Dr. Google.
That's right.
Doctors don't actually like that very much. So, so yeah, I think that'd be great. If anyone wants to pay for me to become a doctor, I would be more than happy to make that happen. I think that'd be awesome. No, seriously, that's something I'm really interested in. So yeah, something I could do something like that, and I don't know. I don't know if it'd be endocrinology or what I would do, but yeah. Good question.
I could see you working on something like diabetes, you know, later in life.
I like the idea of actually seeing patients. You know what I mean? I don't want to be a researcher. Like literally seeing patients and hanging out with them because I think I would be good at that. But at the same time, this is the thing. If I went and became a doctor, I would probably end up just teaching. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was going to say I could see like you make an appointment with Dr. Hanselman. You go in the room. And you sit down and you go, look at this new X-ray reader I have. This is so cool. And have you ever seen this? Yeah. And 45 minutes go by and you say, what are you here for now?
Yeah, exactly. that's a problem. Like, look at this app. I don't think that people would like appreciate that.
Well, Scott, thank you for letting me take over your show again. we wandered this conversation a little bit, but I think there's something listenable in there.
Maybe a minute or two.
You're not going to invite me back.
No,
are
you're
you?
Never coming back on the show.
All right, fine.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been another episode of Connery Minutes. You're on the Hansel Minutes Show. We'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.
No Shatter. Give me Scottish.
Scottish? I can't do Scottish on demand.
Yes, you can. Try it. It's my show.
Oh, God. I can do Scotty. No, I can't do it. I can't find my tongue. Because, you know, when you want to do an impression, you have to, like, find a word or a phrase to start it off. You know what I mean?
All right, Tonight's Show. How about Tonight's Show? Johnny Carson, you can do it. I know you do that one.
Let me see. Johnny Carson. This has been another episode of the Connery Minutes. I did not know that. That is pretty fantastic. Thank you, Rob Connery. it was Connery Minutes. It was Jimmy Stewart. Or what about Sean Connery?
the only impression I can do is Allende. This code depresses me. I've tried that.
What is that?
So many
Who
times.
Is that?
Oren.
Allende Raheem?
Yes.
That's what that was?
Yes. This code makes me want to cry.
This podcast is making me more stupid.
This podcast, it's time for it to stop.
Make it stop. Click. All right. Goodbye.